Praise the Lord. Well, Romans chapter number 5, verses 6 through 8 says this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." And everybody, I want you to look at verse 8. But God. Everybody say, but God. Everybody say, but God. Commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commendeth his love. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk on this subject for a little while. But God. But God. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord this morning, asking for his anointing here today. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I'm asking that you would anoint these lips of clay. I pray that you would anoint this mind, that you would help me today, God, to deliver the burden of the Holy Ghost to this church. Lord, that somebody today would be filled with the Holy Ghost, that somebody's life would be changed through the word of God today. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy this morning. We glorify you. Can we give them a hand clap of praise before we're seated here today? Oh, we love you, Jesus. We magnify you today, Lamb of God. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. You can be seated this morning. But God, but God. You know, as I began thinking about this subject, I began to think of, a while ago I mentioned that we could look back over life and think of how horrible things are, and we could even look at this world and think of how much and in much disarray that it is in at this moment in time. And we could worry and we could fret. We could, but I choose not to, because God is still on the throne. I don't care what king takes the throne on earth. I don't care what politician takes the highest office on earth. I can promise you God will always still be on the throne. Amen. And you know, as human beings, I like to keep it real, as one lady in my church says all the time. She says, just keep it real, Pastor, just keep it real. So I try to keep it real as possible. But that is, you know, there's a lot of times that we, as individuals, think people got it out for us. Even Christians do. Yeah. Amen. I don't think I'm the only one. If I am, I probably ought to go home, Brother Wirtz, because I am the most inadequate one to be teaching at this point, I guess. But you know, a lot of times we get stuck in a rut, thinking that, you know what, I'm never going to get ahead. I'm going to be stuck in this same spot all my life. In fact, you guys ever heard the definition of a rut? Yeah, it sounds like they've heard this before. But it's simply a grave with both ends kicked out. It's not good to be stuck in a rut. It's not good to be stuck in a rut. But you know what? Some of us need to get in our Toyota Tacomas and put it in crawl mode. Have y'all seen that? That's pretty amazing how them things can. I watched one of those guys pull out of a sand pit. He was totally buried, Brother Wirtz, all the way to the bottom of the truck. Totally grounded out. He put that thing in ground mode, in crawl mode, and that thing crawled right out of that hole. I was amazed. Made me want to sell my Ford pickup and go buy me a Toyota. We're not going to get along. My brother, he's been after me to get a Toyota too. Anyhow, we'll get off of this. Quit being comical, I guess. But anyhow, but there's a lot of times we find ourselves stuck in a rut. And a lot of times we find ourselves not wanting to get out of that rut. Unfortunately. but God. Amen. Brother Reed said it a while ago. His mom came to church. They didn't lay hands on her. God worked in her life miraculously. Amen. But God. Look, this is why we come to church. This is why we come to worship the Lord. There, you know, I know that there were stay-at-home orders for a while, but you got to understand, there was a dryness in my life when we were staying at home, even as pastor, just a dryness where I couldn't come and worship with the people of God. There's something about being in the presence of God that allows God to be able to work in our midst in a way that he doesn't do it at home. Amen? Praise God. Well, is it just a country mentality that they think that they can just go to church? I had one guy say, you know what, I can get as much God in my field as I can in the church. And I said, buddy, I'm sorry. I do not agree with that. I need you. You need me. The song said, we're all a part of God's body. This ain't a part of my notes. I'm going to work this for just a moment. But just think about this. If you were to take, who's Brother Culbertson? All right. I see. He has a Tacoma. Can I find somebody else? No, I'm just kidding. I see your stuff on the Bible app all the time. That's why I knew your name. So otherwise, I wouldn't know anybody in here. I remember meeting Brother Reed in Olathe one time. And when he asked me if I knew you, I apologized. I said no. But when I saw your face, I was like, oh, man, yes, I do know him. I have met him. I know of him. Let me put it that way. But Brother Culbertson, what if we were to take one of those feet that those nice-looking shoes are on, and we were to leave that foot at home today in a closet somewhere, and you go about your business? You would be handicapped, and your foot would be absolutely worthless. Because it's not connected to the brains. And it wouldn't have a clue what it's supposed to do now. The body is fitly framed together, Paul said. Fitly. He put you exactly where he wanted you to go. Exactly at this moment in time. That's why I got to come to church. Because I can't have a foot over in somebody else's house. I can't have an arm in my house. I can't have some fingers over in somebody else's house and be a functioning body. Well, glory. That's how God chose to work. And when it's all put together, God can step in a situation just like he did Brother Reed's mom. And heal instantly. God is doing some big things right now. Let me say it again for the rest of you that didn't hear me. God is doing big things right now. And God wants to step into your life today. I don't know where any of you are. And I told God this morning driving down here. I said, God, I don't know any of these people. But you do. You know them even better than Brother Wurst knows them. And you know what they need to hear. And I feel like God was helping me understand, hey, somebody is looking for some change. You're sick and tired of where you're at right now. I'm talking to somebody today. And you're ready to move forward. And you got a series of services that God's about to let you move forward in. But it's got to go beyond these four walls here. It's got to go home with you. Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. Brother Wurz, if I get out of control, you stop me, all right? I'm totally totally subjected to you. But one thing that I have had to deal with, and that is I have folks that like to come to church and they like to pray in the Holy Ghost 30, 40 minutes. But as soon as they go home, they pick up their cigarettes and start smoking again. You're not going to make it to heaven that way. The Holy Ghost changes us. It doesn't let us stay the same. I've coined this phrase, and I say it almost every service at home, but that is, if your prayer life's not changing you, you need to change your prayer life. Because our prayer life should be consistently changing us day in and day out and day in and day out. Every day we ought to be checking our hearts and our minds saying, God, what is it that you need me to change today? Because I have to make it to heaven. Everybody, the song said it this morning, everybody will be happy over there. But I want to make it over there. Well, glory. Praise God. Amen. My saints tell me all the time, why do you bother bringing notes to church with you? You never use them. But, you know, I'll get back to them in a moment. But that is, it's imperative that we as the people of God understand that God is working in our midst right now. Right now. And you got to understand, when God moves and we don't move, God moves on without us. Just think about it. If the children of Israel back when they were in the wilderness, if that cloud or that pillar of fire, it left and they weren't moving with it, they got left behind. And if they got too far behind, then they lost their way. So when God moves, we need to move. Praise God. Well, glory. That was all free of charge. Amen. We'll get back into what my notes have to say this morning. But there is a stirring in the Holy Ghost, Brother Worth, right now. There is such a stirring in the Holy Ghost. Since the beginning of this year, we have seen people healed miraculously and notably. Not just little things that might or might not be, but God touched them in the service. God's been filling people with the Holy Ghost in our little country church. And I'm thankful for it. But I know it's not just happening in Lacine. Because I can feel it right here in this church. Amen. Praise God. God is moving right now. You know, when we look around us, going back to what I began with, things seem to be running amok in our life. And things like... And it may feel like that we're being set up. It may feel like we're being set up by those outside the church. It may feel like we're being set up by those inside the church. God forbid. But, you know, there were some examples in the scripture where people really were being set up. Think about this. Abimelech and Abraham. Abraham went there, and in Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, it says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, and I know Abraham put himself in this situation, but I want to pull one little thing from this real quick. And that is, he said, I want you to say that she is my sister. Said of Sarah, his wife, to Abimelech, king of Gerar, And he sent for Sarah and took her. In verse 3, even though he got himself in a messy situation, the next verse, verse number 3, says, but God. But God came to Abimelech and he gave him a dream and he convicted Abimelech for what he was doing. God stepped in. Now, there's one other thing I want to pull from this, and that is Abraham put himself in this situation by lying. It wasn't a complete lie. It was a half-truth. But a little white lie is still a white lie. And so, yes, he put himself in this situation. But God stepped in. And he took care of the situation. And it could have been a messy situation, but God took care of Abraham and Sarah. Praise God. Joseph, he was arrogant. We could talk about Joseph for a while, but I would just want to pull a little bit from this story. We understand that Joseph, he was constantly telling his brothers, look at this coat Dad made for me. And they built a hatred for him. They did. And then one day, they saw him out in the field. Dad had sent him out there to check on them. Wrong guy to send to check on your brothers, but he sent him anyhow. And all of a sudden, his brothers saw them coming. You know the story. First, they ripped off that coat to signify that Dad loves you more. And they threw him in a pit. And then Reuben got to feeling bad. And he said, we're going to pull him out of the pit. We're going to sell him to slavery. You know, I hope most of you know the story. I'm trying to run through it because I want to get somewhere this morning. But Joseph found himself in some precarious situations. He was lied on. He was put into prison for no reason. And he made the best of both of those situations. He did. And he continued seeking God through all of it. Amen. That's key right there. No matter what life throws at you, you need to continue to seek after God. But at the end of all of what happened, and after Joseph's father, Jacob, had passed off of the scene, we get to Genesis chapter number 50, and we find that his brothers that had sold him into slavery were worried. Dad's not here anymore, so Joseph's not going to be merciful to us now. And so now we find them trembling. And finally they approach Joseph and ask him for mercy. And this is Joseph's response to them. Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But the next two words, but God meant it to good. I couldn't see the good in it. But God saw where I needed to be from where I was. And he performed everything just so I could get to where I needed to be at the right moment, at the right time, to help all of the countries that will be in need. But God meant it to good. To bring to pass, as it is today, to save much people alive. But God did this. But God did this. We could spend more and more time going through the scriptures where we can find where God stepped on the scene and changed everything. We could go through there. In fact, if you just do a search of but God or and God, you're going to find a lot of scriptures. And we could spend time going through every one of those. And I can promise you, when I was studying, it was encouraging to see how that God, despite how his people were acting, despite where we were, where they were at the moment, God stepped in time after time after time after time, and he worked it out for the good so that he could receive glory. Well, glory. Praise God. We could talk about the time that when he was here robed in flesh, he went across the sea after he had been teaching for an entire day. And he got in the sea and he told the disciples, we must go to the other side. And you know what was on the other side? Gadara. What I find so ironic about this situation is the fact that when he went to Gadara, He found the man that needed to be delivered of these demons. He delivered him. He taught him some things. And then he got back in the boat and went back to where he came from. This man was tormented day and night, the Bible says, cutting himself, running naked in the tombs, destroying his life. People had tried to help him. They tried to bind him. They tried to do everything humanly possible to get control of this man. But they could do nothing because of the possession that was on this man's mind and his heart. But when Jesus stepped on the shores of Gadara, at least 2,000 devils. At least. Why do I make that a point? Because 2,000 devils at least could not stop this man from getting to the feet of Jesus Christ. You folks know these things, but I'm just trying to remind you, hey, when God steps on the shores of your problem, I don't care how crazy things are. 2,000 devils couldn't stop that man from getting deliverance. That's right. What do you need from God today? What do you need from God right now in this service this morning? What's stopping you from getting to Jesus? Because he's been here since I got here this morning. He's here right now. Are you going to have a God moment in your life today? Let me ask you, I want you to begin to contemplate, what can God do right now in my life? What can be different when I walk out the back doors of the church this morning? And then when we get back into service tonight, God can do it for somebody else. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning for all that God is doing and for all that God has already done. But before I finish up this morning, I want to go over some things here today. And that is, in Romans chapter 5, going back there, verses 6 through 8 says, "Then we, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," while I was still a sinner, when I was still a sinner, he said, when we were yet sinners. I've been preaching against this at home because it's a big deal, but I don't think it's just that way at home. And that is, once a sinner, always a sinner. The apostle said very clearly, while we were. Words mean things, folks. We were. That means used to be. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint of God. I'm a Christian today. Why? Because he saved me by grace. Because while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. And not just for Brandon Hilton, but for every single person under the sound of my voice this morning. Christ died for you. Not when we deserved it, but because he loved us. And his love has not changed. Well, glory. We're talking about but God. While I was a sinner, God stepped on the scene. While I was a sinner, God stepped on the scene. While I'm in the midst of my valley, God steps on the scene. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, hallelujah. heart here this morning. Oh, magnify you, Jesus. I glorify your holy name today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can be seated. Praise God. You got to understand, without this phrase, but God, we would all still be facing judgment and hope, and without hope today. But God commendeth his love. But God commendeth his love. And it didn't stop at Calvary. It has continued day after day after day after day. And we've got to understand that it is God that is the only one who can save us from our sins. It is. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as wrong as they had so many things, they understood one thing. And that is, Mark chapter 2 and verse 7, they had this to say. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? They asked this next question. Who can forgive sin but God? They got that right. They got that right. But they didn't know who he was. They didn't have a revelation like Peter had. Whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, glory. I'm not here to teach on the oneness, but we could do that too. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 5, verse 21 is another place where you find this. And it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The answer is, only God can. That's exactly right. Only God can forgive sin. But you got to understand, this was God in the flesh. This wasn't just another prophet. This was the Almighty who took on fleshly clothes so that he could feel the infirmities of us. Because we have not an high priest who cannot be touched by our infirmities. Why? For he was in all points. Everybody say all points. Tempted like you and me. Without that, it would have been meaningless for him to come. If the man Jesus Christ, I'm sorry if I cross theology, please stop me. But if Christ could not have sinned, then what beauty is there? The man Jesus Christ, I believe, could have sinned at any moment if he chose to. But he had something. Oh, help me, Jesus. He had something inside of him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. He had something down inside of him, Brother Culbertson, that said, hey, you're not going to sin. I'm giving you the strength to overcome sin. There's temptation, but I'm going to provide you a way of escape from this temptation. That spirit that lived inside of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. Think about it. That same spirit. Eddie James said it this way. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside. That same spirit that was able to raise Jesus up out of the grave. It's living down deep inside of me. That's what helps me when I wake up in the morning to say, you know what, devil? I don't have to go back to that old sinful way that I used to be, because my Jesus lives on the inside and I now have power to overcome sin. But God, but God, but God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. seated this morning. Hallelujah. These people, these Pharisees, these scribes, they understood that only God could forgive sins. And they saw Jesus forgiving sins. How did they see it? Well, they saw a change take place. They saw a change take place. When Jesus spoke, people picked up their beds and walked away. When a woman caught in adultery came to his feet, he forgave her and sent her on her way. Well, that's the kind of God I serve. You can find that forgiveness he gave that woman right here in this place today. Well, later on in the book of Acts chapter 7, we find Stephen preaching to a bunch of people, and he told them, ironically enough, these people were the Pharisees. And ironically enough, it put him to death. But yet he preached the truth no matter what. But in Acts chapter 7, we find Stephen preaching to these people, and he told them that the same God that stepped in and helped Joseph was the very Holy Ghost that they needed in their life. Yeah. What am I talking about? Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9, Stephen said this. He said, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt." And I love the words that were put here by those that translated the scriptures here. They said, "But God was with him." Joseph already knew this fact. Stephen had to reach back and say, "Hey, you guys know these scriptures. You know the history. You know Joseph. You studied Joseph. You know what happened in Joseph's life. You got to understand, it was the same spirit that was helping Joseph in those situations that can come and live inside of your life right here and right now." Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Feels good in here today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't care what you face. When you have a "but God" moment, your life will never be the same. Once he changes you, it'll never be the same. I don't care if you fall back into sin. Your life won't be the same, because you're going to remember time after time after time after time after time that "but God" moment I had back then. I've got to get back there. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Oh, be seated. Praise the Lord. You may think that you've done everything that you can, and you may have. But have you allowed God to step in? Is there a place in your life where the author has written in, "but God"? I want you to think about it this morning. Think through your life. Was there and is there a moment that you can pinpoint? Those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost, you need that moment. Those of you that have the Holy Ghost, how long has it been since you've had a "but God" moment? Look, Psalms are full of the psalmist saying, "His eyes are looking to and fro on the earth, watching the righteous, so that he may show himself strong." It's the will of God that you have "but God" moments often. Not years in between. Man, if I could have a "but God" moment every day, let me have it. I can't live without his strength. We got to understand, we are nothing without his power. We can do nothing. You may be able to make money. You may be able to do a bunch of other things that this world deems profitable and successful. But righteously, I can't do anything. I don't have it in myself to be righteous. I need a but God moment today. Today. I'm almost finished here this morning. But I want you to think about this. Brother Word said, I was praying at our church. Lord, I need you to help us. And I've always known this. God, we want to see growth, and I'm seeing growth, and I'm thankful for that. But let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul put it this way to Corinth. He said, I have planted, and Apollos watered. But God gives the increase. Now, when it comes to church growth, I believe that God moves when we move. And ye shall receive what? When? To be what? We have a calling. I'm just preaching the gamut today, and I hope that's all right. But we have a duty. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, all power in heaven and earth belongs to me. Therefore, go. Go. Is anybody in here in sales? Yeah? How often do you get new clients without marketing? We want to fill our churches with people. If this is over the top, brother, just stop me. I believe in marketing, all right? I believe in marketing. But you know, for whatever reason, we disconnect marketing from the church. I would dare say if salespeople would use the principles that Jesus put out for witnessing, there would be untold success. What if we took that same thing and applied it to us? Think about... Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. God's talking to us right now. Think about, let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. If you want to, that's fine. But that is, has God done anything for anybody here today? He did something for you. Everybody needs to hear about it. If you are having a hard time witnessing, that's what I tell our folks. If you're having a hard time and you say I'm too shy or whatever, maybe I'm just hard-nosed and I'm just a young guy, so that's possible. But I just tell them, look, if you don't have a drive to tell somebody about the goodness of God, you need to find a prayer room and get the Holy Ghost all over again. Because he said, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witnesses. I have yet to have to coax or to prod any brand new child of God to go tell somebody about Jesus. I pastor, but I also work, and I'm a consultant for D365. If you know what that is, I'm proud of you. If you don't, I'm not going to explain it to you because it's going to be, it'll kill the spirit. But I'm essentially a developer that works with all kinds of different systems. And I love to talk about it. And you know, I went in, we got a new local coffee shop in September in our little town. Man, I was so excited. Because I was having to drive 25 minutes one way to go get good coffee. Except for the stuff I make at home. And I don't like that very often. I don't have a fancy press or anything. I just got a Keurig. You put a K-cup in and call it a day. And it does the job. But every once in a while, I want me some milk in my coffee and some extra shots of espresso in that coffee. Because that Keurig hadn't got enough kick for me. But I walked into that coffee shop. I said, hey, guys, I'm a developer. Can I develop an app for you guys, a native app for the store, so we could do mobile ordering? They said, well, yeah, that's fine. Have you done it before? I said, no, I've never done it before. So I'm in the midst of building an application for this coffee shop that I've never done this before. But yesterday, I'm going somewhere with this, all right? And I'm going to hurry. I've taken a long time, and I apologize. But I have, when I get to feeling at home, brother, it's bad stuff. So, anyway, so I've been working on this app. I've been spending a lot of hours, so I can't work on it during work hours, so I have to work on it afterwards. And I've made a lot of headway, and I'd be happy to show any of y'all what I've done. But yesterday, I went to the office. I never go to the office. I always work from home. And so there's another batch of developers up there, and we like to talk geek. And so I pulled out my app. And guess what? Every single person in the office got to hear about that app that I'm building. Why? Because it's brand new. I'm excited about what I'm doing. And it's a new industry I might be able to break into. So I'm telling people about it. Why? Because I have a passion for it right now. The problem is, I should have more of a passion for the things of God. I'm going somewhere with that too, because in the middle of one of those conversations at the office, I work with a bunch of people that aren't in church. Guess what? We got to start talking about Jesus. We went from talking about a stupid application that's really not going to change anybody's world. Or life, maybe I should say it that way, to talking about somebody that's going to change everything for eternity. And before we were done talking, I had three or four standing around us, and we were all talking about it. I'm talking about a love and a passion for the things of God, folks. You know, not every job is conducive to that type of conversation. I understand that. Jesus, help me. I promise you, I want to stop, but a friend of mine, he's actually taking care of the church at home right now, and he gave me this analogy one day, and I preached it, and I've used it, and I've beaten it, and I've brought it back to life and all that stuff, so here we go again. But he and I were talking one day, and he was working for J.E. Dunn at the time, and his wife packed him a lunch, like every good wife should. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't shoot me. I just lost everybody right there. Just the ladies. Well, the guy's got to go home with them, so they're probably not going to say much amens after this one. No, I'm just kidding. But he would go to work, and his wife was cooking him brownies, and he, I guess, I don't know why he had so many brownies. He was taking to work, homemade brownies. I don't know if she just got on a kick and wanted to make him brownies all week or what. But he told me, he said, there was a week where my wife sent me a brownie every single day. And he said, I got to the place where I was taking two brownies. Sounds like me. I would already took half the pan, probably. But he said him and his one of his coworkers were sitting there at lunch one day. And his coworker knew that he was a pastor. And he looks at him. He said, Andrew, my family, they're devout. I don't know what denomination. He said, they're devout, whatever. He said, but every time we go see them and sit around the table, they're shoving things down my throat, and they're telling me I got to be at church, and that I'm going to lose my life, and well, there's a certain way that you need to reach souls. You can draw them or you can drive them, and I don't recommend driving them, because typically the driving will drive them away. But he began to talk to this guy. I don't remember the other guy's name. Doesn't matter. But he said, you know, I kind of think of it this way. This is my friend talking. He said, you see this brownie? He's this really good brownie. He said, you like brownies? And the guy said, yeah, I like brownies. Who doesn't like brownies? Some Bluebell ice cream? Warm that brownie up just a little bit. It's almost lunchtime. Just making sure you're hungry. But he had that brownie, and he said, you know, you like brownies, right? He said, yeah, I like brownies. He said, what would happen if I took this brownie and I came over and I grabbed you and I started shoving it in your mouth? He said, no matter how good that brownie is, you're not going to want it, and you're going to want to fight me. He said, but what if I eat this brownie and my wife keeps making these brownies, and I act like I'm enjoying these things? He said, man, you're going to ask me one day, hey, those brownies look pretty good. You mind if I take some? Can I have a bite? And before long, Brother Merriman said, he said, I'm going to end up having to bring two brownies, one for me and one for you. He said, that's my philosophy on reaching others. You say, well, I can't talk to people about God on my job. Well, you can. You can. Maybe not verbally. But how do you act when the boss gets on your bad side? What if that coworker starts cussing you out? They're watching you. They need to see those but God moments coming to the surface. I haven't lost my train of thought yet this morning. Totally different direction than what I intended, but it is what it is. We need more of God so that we can share Him more often. My. I need the Holy Ghost today. More than I did yesterday. And more than I did last week, I need it today. Today. I don't know how you close things out. If musicians want to come, however you guys do things. But I want us to understand. God, I still feel the touch of heaven right here in this place this morning. And I feel like God's talking to somebody's heart right now. And God has a moment for you in this service today. You know, my God can still supply any need that I could possibly have. The scripture tells us so. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can we stand this morning? What is it that you want from God? What is it that you need from God today? Is there there's something that you've been struggling with, and I feel like there's somebody here that they have been, are you willing to let God step on the shores of your issues and begin to work and to mold and to make you what He needs you to be? Do you have the Holy Ghost this morning? He wants to give it to you. Right now. He wants to give it to you right now. Can we lift our hands and can we begin to talk to the Lord this morning? Can we begin to tell Him how much we need Him in our life today? If it's been a while since you've had a but God moment in your life, can you begin to tell Him, Lord, I need You to move in my life today. God, I don't want to go another day without feeling Your glorious touch anew and afresh in my life, oh God. Oh, that's it. Let's call on the Lord this morning. These altars are open if you want to come and you want to reach out to the Lord today. Oh, that's it. Let's lift our voices to Him. God, I give You my everything today. God, I want You to change my life. I want You to help me today. Just like You did for the demoniac of Gadara, God, I want You to help me today. I need change. I need You, God, like I've never needed You before.